Okay, so we're with Vinnie Eastwood, who's coming to us from New Zealand. And we were just talking about the genesis of our program here and how the confluence has come up to where the starting point of our program is that scientists have now discovered a hidden continent under New Zealand. And I'm currently reading a book that suggests that that continent might be the continent of Lemuria. So that it's about 1.74 million square miles in size. 94% of it is submerged. And at its highest points, it protrudes above the ocean surface in the form of New Zealand and New Caledonia. So I'm going to ask you, Vinny, has this discovery, which was produced, which is first reported on February 18th, 2017, has this discovery had much of a ripple effect in New Zealand?
Well, probably I'd say no, because I heard that 10 years ago.
Oh, I see.
And along with the pre-Maori ancient civilizations that were here, a friend of mine has just uncovered these. I don't know. It's sort of like a Machu Picchu sort of New Zealand chunk that he's found up a river that he lives next to. He just kind of like went on a walk one day, you know. And New Zealand's like that. It's got lots of untouched things that you wouldn't hear about for thousands of years or whatever. Not because, you know, they're terribly well hidden. It's just nobody bothers going down there.
Right. Well, this looks like it's an underwater continent two-thirds the size of Australia called Zealandia.
Now,
And
when we look at a lot of diving that was taken off of Okinawa, you see giant megalithic structures that are underneath the water. And just recently, there was a laser scan of Angkor Wat, or I don't know how to pronounce it or whatever, but the giant Hindu temple in what's it in Vietnam or Laos or Cambodia or Cambodia, And they did a laser scan of the area surrounding that giant temple. And it turns out that temple is in the middle of a giant city. They saw all the roads and everything like that. And even underneath the, not Bermuda Triangle, but around off of Venezuela, you've got underwater cities and things like that that had Egyptian-looking headdresses, sculptures, and all sorts of other stuff. So what happened long ago is that the Earth changed massively by about 23 degrees. You know, big thing going like this, and all of a sudden tip like that. It's massive change. Don't know what caused it, but it caused a crack that rippled around the whole Earth. And a whole bunch of underground water reservoirs, as well as volcanic tephra, the ash and everything that comes out, which is also 70% water, deluged the entire planet. Whatever civilization was on it was quite advanced at the time, more advanced than we've got today, by a lot of means of the imagination, and it all got lost. And there are hundreds of thousands of mountain ranges around the world where sea creatures, land creatures, humans, tools, vehicles, and things like that are all just smashed up together on the sides of these mountains. That's hundreds of thousands of mountain ranges around the world. And people tried to look at this in terms of evolution. No, everything got wiped away at the same time. And whatever we're living on today is merely the ruin of the old world.
Right. So, one of the things that that I've been hearing about recently, both from researchers who cover the area of HAARP, and this is where they can actually target entire nations with directed energy weapons, but also from certain residents of New Zealand, is that they feel that they are targeting the, quote, New World Order, the controllers of HAARP, are targeting New Zealand, they feel, in order to get rid of the indigenous cultures and in order to get rid of sort of the settler populations, such that the New World Order can kind of take it over. What do you feel about all
we were talking about the big Christchurch earthquake that happened. On the day before it happened, 9 US congressmen were on our soil having a meeting in Christchurch along with the head of the Federal Emergency Management Association, or FEMA. And the day after, these congressmen stepped on a plane and were out of there, but the head of FEMA remained behind. And we were hit with a tremor that was 10 kilometers deep, which is the reported depth of an average HAARP weapon usage. There were 40 plus reports to mainstream news reporters about meteors that they saw in the sky that were breaking the sound barrier. Meteors can't break the sound barrier because they're coming in at about 22,000 kilometers an hour. You need to go from 699 kilometers an hour to 701 kilometers an hour before you produce a sonic boom. And this is one of the other telltale HAARP signs. And another part of it was a lot of other suspicious HAARP attacks like Haiti, the Boxing Day tsunami, Fukushima. Guess what happens to be offshore just at the right time, like perfectly timed and perfectly well supplied, you know, just giant fleets of boats that have huge amounts of supplies for emergency relief directly after this attack, this unknown natural disaster happens. Now, our Prime Minister, John Key, said that this was a man-made attack twice and then corrected himself. All right. If he'd said it once, so if there's a man-made natural disaster, a natural disaster. So and then he says it again. So if there's a man-made, natural disaster, nobody frickin' makes that slip once, let alone twice right in a row. Okay. According to Benjamin Fulford, we were threatened at that meeting with the 9 U.S. congressmen. All right. You're either going to allow up to 1 million. Refugees from the United States, the wealthiest, the most powerfulest, and etc., etc., and we're essentially going to take over your island, South Island, which currently has 1 million New Zealanders living in it, as well as indigenous tribes and stuff like that. We're also getting a whole lot of extra fracking consents. There's already a number of major rivers that have been contaminated, and earthquakes still continue to this day, usually quite destructive. The last one that's been going has blocked off. Well, let me give you an idea. If you go around a coastal road and you've got a mountain right beside you, a tiny road that you're on, and the sea right on the other side, like a couple of feet from you, that's your road in New Zealand. The mountain shifted a couple, like just woof, and has consumed the entire road for like a couple of miles or something like that, right? That's not a job you can undo very quickly. The entire route, and that's State Highway 1 we're talking about, down the spine of the South Island's coast, has been taken out. So when you take the car ferry from our nation's capital in Wellington, you go across the Charlotte Sound into Picton at the tip of the South Island, instead of just driving south as you would, you have to go around the entire frickin' island pretty much and then take a couple of passes through roads, through glaciers and things of that nature in order to get where you're going. Adds nearly double the trip now. Now, granted, if you are ever in the mood, ladies and gentlemen, to come and see New Zealand, skip the North Island where I live. Skip it. Okay? The South Island's where all the real picturesque stuff is. Take extra, extra camera memory and so on and so forth, because it is worth a snapshot every minute that you're driving along this stuff. It is like you were going through time. It is that beautiful. I have done it, and I highly recommend anybody else in the rest of the world do it. Just make sure you take earthquake insurance out. Now, speaking of the supply ships, there was a New Zealand relief effort the day after Christchurch got hit by the massive quake. And, you know, Lyttelton Harbour is like 15 minutes drive from Christchurch. It's right here. And they were full. And the New Zealand Army ship was full with blankets and food and disaster relief supplies, and they were running a drill for disaster relief. Now, 15 minutes drive from there is another very interesting facility called Birdlings Flat, which has a whole bunch of, what? You guessed it, radar antenna arrays. See, now it starts to make a little bit more sense here. Because after what happened is, every time that there's a giant disaster, you get the shock doctrine. It happened after Haiti. Boom, US comes in and pretty much takes over. The Clinton Foundation take care of a lot of that, including, oh, we've suddenly got mining contracts and consents for all sorts of shit, you know? And it seems to me that there is an intense suffering that got caused by that quake that people are not even aware of. You know, this, there were places up to a year after the quake initially happened that still didn't have running water. They were still living in homes that were red zoned because there's nowhere else for them to go. And the money gets poured in for the reconstruction contracts, which all go to the private sector companies, which are incidentally like 30 or 40% government owned. So it's the government stealing people's tax money and then giving it to private corporations that they've got shares in. Oh, it's just a horrible freaking situation down there for people. And they know that the government's not really there to help them. But what's beautiful is that now they've got a whole bunch of new ideas for the greenification and the Agenda 21-ification of the centre of the city. They had troops on the street. You know, in the United States, they've got laws like Posse Comitatus that prevent the military from being on the streets. Not that it has been preventing it a whole lot, but at least you got that law. Down here, we don't have that. So we had troops on the streets guarding checkpoints and things of that nature. And I'm just like looking at this as a conspiracy theorist going, yep, shock doctrine. We've been attacked. We're being colonized. And they're basically flushing our way of life down the toilet for globalist geopolitical ends. You know, didn't see that coming.
So this is the South Island now that essentially they want to clear. You're saying?
I don't know if they want to clear it per se. All I know is what Ben Fulford told me.
I see.
And you know, Ben's come right with a hell of a lot of things in time. And the problem is with a good conspiracy is you don't realize whether or not it's true until after it's too fucking late.
Right.
I apologize for the language. I'll not do that.
Well, there's a lot of, there are many, many stories of elites now making their hidey holes in New Zealand, in the South Island. You know, that's their new hidey hole area.
Well, we did film The Hobbit here.
That's true.
Yeah, so obviously, if you're going to build a hidey hole, go to the place where they filmed The Hobbit. You know, I can see the logic. But there's not too much credence that I give to that claim that the elite are flocking here. I haven't actually seen the evidence to substantiate that. I heard the rumors and things like that. And that was based off, initially, James Cameron coming here. Now, At the time, one of my listeners asked me, "So, Vinny, how expensive is your farmland in New Zealand?" And I go, "Well, it's so expensive that unless you're James Cameron or a multinational Chinese conglomerate, you can't afford it." Right? And he comes down here, and it turns out that he's making Avatar 2 and 3 and 4 or whatever the hell it is. We've got Ghost in the Shell that has just been filmed here in the Weta workshops and things like that. There's actually quite a blossoming, highly technologically advanced film industry that's now developing here with the advent of the internet, because if you want to send an effects shot to Los Angeles from here, like let's say from my house, I've got pretty quick internet, but if I'm sending an effects shot that's like half a terabyte or something like that, she's going to take some time. So we've got these giant fiber cables now that Weta Workshop is using on down there, and a whole bunch of money is getting into there. So there's your celebrity clustering. They're coming here to work because it's a hell of a lot cheaper to pay New Zealanders who don't have any employment rights or unions when it comes to the film industry. And guess who frickin' signed that deal? John Key. At the behest of, I think it was Warner Brothers and Peter Jackson of Weta Digital, they then annexed all employment rights and unionization for film crews in this country in order to get The Hobbit made here.
Right.
So we're pretty internationally connected. And I think that when we're talking about celebrity culture and this kind of thing, Adele, the singer, came to New Zealand, and you won't effing believe this, bro. She morphed into a reptile backstage in front of like 14 people who were back there, and the New Zealand Herald reporter, Jim Joint, I think his name is, actually wrote it down and put it in the frickin' New Zealand Herald's website on March 28th. That she had shapeshifted into like a frickin' 8-foot lizard or something in front of these people. And then the reporter comes in and there was this feeling of loathing and frickin' whatever in the air. And Adele was saying, no, I'm a good reptilian. I'm a good reptilian. Like, whoa. And then the article just gets pulled from the New Zealand Herald website. But luckily some kids took a couple screenshots of it. And put it up on yournewswire.com. And I was like, whoa, really? Like, because I see yournewswire.com and Adele shapeshifts into a reptilian. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, bro. But, you know, the curiosity got to me. So I clicked on it, and oh my God, it was screenshots from the New Zealand Herald, who I've got more YouTube subscribers than, by the way.
Well, coincidentally, I was reading up on the history of Zealandia, this continent, and you know, it could have been. I mean, this is all speculation, but I'm reading a book now that speculates that the reason why Lemuria sank was the result of a war between reptilians and humans called the Atlans that was fought in that area, and the continents sank because of the weaponry. The weaponry was used to sink the continents. So you're on the site of a prior war between reptilians and humans. So the Earth is kind of a continual sort of ecology, social ecology between reptilian hybrids, humans, etc. And what just occurred in New Zealand is very is kind of emblematic. Is I was just reading a book that gives you the historical background going back to Atlantis and way beyond of why that's happening. And it, is kind of centered around New Zealand and Zealandia and Moo. Isn't that amazing, coincidentally?
Yeah, well, we are pretty egocentric people, you know. So I think the historical record reflects that. I jest. I love my people, but I hate my country. I hate my government. It's just so horrible. Because in the modern world that we're living on right now, I've noticed a 10-year lag. All right. They say that when you shine sunlight into the water of the ocean, it takes about 700 years for that amount of sunlight to come back and reflect as the mean temperature around the globe. And I think what's happening now in terms of the truth movement is what we tell people about 10 years ago is what people are going to start realizing and start looking at a little bit more closely today. And what people are looking at more closely today, they're going to start looking at again in 10 years or so. And, you know, at the same time, that's kind of, you know, that's great. You know, later's better than frickin' never, but I've been telling you for 10 years. And like the election, for example, when Trump appoints his cabinet full of Council on Foreign Relations members and Freemasons and Trilateral Commission members and Goldman Sachs bankers and members who are like with dual citizenship with Israel. And everybody's like, he's going to save us from the New World Order. He's going to save us from the New World Order. He's going to build the wall. It's kind of like, he's not, bro. He's friggin' not. It's like you didn't see an election before. Oh, my God. Just why? Why is it so gullible?
Are you having a cognitive dissonance attack or something?
No. It's just the pure fact that exactly 8 years ago, the United States had a president who was telling them they were going to close Guantanamo, who was telling them that they were going to pull out of the wars in Iraq, who was telling you that they were going to take care of the immigration crisis, who was telling you that they were going to stop spying on the American people, that they were going to stop lobbyists from frickin' taking over Washington, that they weren't going to take away people's rights, that they were going to take some kind of a stand against a cop on black violence and so on and so forth, that they're going to make the vaccine safer and blah, 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 blah. And everybody, including me, bought it. Right? And when I say everybody, there were a lot of people who weren't so easily fooled and wrote books about it, you know, made documentaries about it, but those same people are absolutely withered by Trump. Just woof, woof. Oh, no questioning whatsoever. Let's just believe. Let's just believe. Okay? Just give him a chance. All right? So what if he managed to bankrupt a casino? So what? So what if that casino was given to him by the Jewish mafia? So what? So what if his three closest friends are the world's biggest drug dealers, gun runners, and human traffickers? So what? Let's just believe. Let's just give them a chance, bro. Okay? And the lack of questioning of it, the lack of digging into his past or anything like that in order to predict the future by the alternative media was a source of incredible frustration for me, because it was like the last 8 years didn't happen. It was like the 8 years before that with the Bush presidency and Al Gore's climate change nonsense coming out. Didn't happen. It's like 9/11 was never an inside job to these people. It's like the Muslim terror threat was never manufactured by their own government, right? They just dropped all of that on the Trump train.
Yeah. Well, that's all what I call the chronogarchy, which is the time travel. Secret time travel government, because we showed that in our programs we've showed through whistleblowers, Andy Bashago, former chrononaut, that CIA knew in 1971, 30 years in advance, that 9/11 was going to happen because they had time travel information on it. And they knew that Bush 1, Bill Clinton, Bush 2, Obama, and they had also pre-identified Trump. So they're all from a pre-identified matrix that a power center that has had time control, time travel technology that was developed within the Vatican and given by the Vatican to the U.S. Navy and Defense Department, and then applied by the CIA, the Vatican being the, you know, leader of kind of the power matrix under the secret treaty of Verona. So he's just one more in the latest war matrix. And I find it extraordinarily poignant that here we are talking about these issues in New Zealand over the last major destruction, apocalyptic destruction of humanity, when humanity, you know, sank itself under in Lemuria, and now it's threatened with World War III again, and nuclear catastrophe, which could be another one. We're on this cycle, and my analysis has said that it's almost like a sentient artificial intelligence has taken over and is in charge of world affairs now. It's an inorganic AI that took over in 2015, and with Jade Helm, and that was the beginning of it, and it set up the election in 2016. And now, because if you think back 3 weeks, everybody was just talking about the election and Russia and all this stuff, and all of a sudden it just jacked it up till pre-World War III, nuclear fear levels, so that the Dracos can get their loosh levels, you know, their kind of human fear levels going. And that seems to be what's going on now. And there are no countervailing, you know, it's like every kind of countervailing force seems to have been taken out in the mainstream media. There's like no countervailing force.
I could show you a screenshot of TV3 News, which is our largest private news company. And there was this 1 year where they had a giant billboard advertising how many award-winning journalists they had on their team, and like 14 or something like that.
Yeah.
And from that billboard till today, they've crossed out like 11 names. Right, like all of those people have either left or been fired or had their shows cancelled or something like that. Yeah. Including John Campbell Live, which I think there is only one news show left in New Zealand. There used to be like half a dozen. Now there's one, and that's called the Sunday Program, hosted by a guy named Ian Sinclair, who I met at Cafe 1-to-1 while he was playing some flamenco, and got his number, and I'm going to call him to bring him on the show, which he's already agreed to. So that's going to be good, isn't it?
Oh, well, good. Yeah. Oh, well, good. So maybe you will emerge as the newscaster for New Zealand.
Well, here's the thing. I am the only New Zealander in history to be given an American-based talk radio show on an American network.
Wow.
I am the creator of the largest free online archive of protests and public meetings and interviews with activists than any other media entity in history. I've got more YouTube subscribers than the New Zealand Herald, who are the largest news publication in the country.
Right.
Interviewed the top people in the international truth movement, which again no New Zealander has ever done. And essentially there's a method to this, because I am what's called employophobic. Okay. It means I have a fear of gainful employment. So in order to make sure that I don't get employed at any point, I have to be incredibly audacious, interview people that I don't agree with, listen to people who I think are crazy sometimes, and so on and so forth. There's really no filter on the show. We don't break it down for you. We don't, like, prepare it for you and everything like that, so we can spoon feed you our version of reality. It's just, hey, here's this person. Don't know anything about him, but we're going to find out over the course of a chat, right? And that's what you do. It's like two people having an interesting conversation with other people listening, because I'm really quite sick of what's called formatting, where there's a there is a program running, right, where we are supposed to do this. We're supposed to cut to commercial here. We're supposed to plug the sponsors here. We're supposed to do this, that, and the other, or whatever, to do these endless steps that are there for one reason only, to prevent you from having a proper conversation, okay? It's back, it's forth, sometimes you're quiet for like maybe 5-6 minutes while somebody tells you a very interesting story. This way you actually get to know somebody, and I don't think that a lot of people know who it is that they're listening to when they're listening to talk radio shows. They don't actually know who those people are, what their origin story is, what actually made them who they are. Because I think if they did know those origin stories, almost all of them, they would no longer be listening to them. They'd actually be doing something of their own, right? Because sometimes just hearing how somebody woke up and started charting their own path can be that necessary kick for you to start doing the same thing. Right, so my hope is that instead of having a huge fan base, I've merely got enough to survive. Instead of having people that hang on my every word, I've got people who question me when I'm talking. Instead of making a brand and having some kind of conceited ideologue that we want to implant into people's minds so that I can control what they think, I want people to instead influence me and help me to think clearer. And I think that if I'm doing it on a show, other people who are listening to it can do it too. And surprise, surprise, not a lot of people want to hear that kind of thing.
No, we want speed, we want fear, we want terror, we want the flashy stuff and all of that kind of thing. We can't have a real human conversation. I mean, that would almost make Facebook obsolete. What the hell? Why? Why?
You know, why be honest? Why be straightforward? Why say things out loud on talk radio that are actually kind of embarrassing and very revealing about yourself? You know, why project your weakness? It's because it gives other people courage. All right? That's the thing. You just need to, instead of feeding people hope or feeding them fear, just feed them their own courage. That way they don't need you anymore. I don't like the culture of dependency that the truth movement has sprung up. I don't like how people think, you know, I've got to keep listening to this and the next episode the next day and so on and so forth and listen to the next couple of hours afterwards. No, you just need something to make you feel better, to make you feel like you're not alone out there. Because, my God, there are people who are in families that don't believe a word they're saying. There are people out there who have no friends that they can talk to about conspiracy stuff. They are in a painful, painful place. just today I was driving my wife down to the supermarket so we can get some food for Easter, right? And I was almost moved to tears because we got out before 9 o'clock, before school starts, before everybody's supposed to be at work and everything like that, specifically so that I could see what it's like for those people who are working in slave jobs that they hate, who are sleep deprived, who are depressed, who are really unhappy with everything. And even they have to get stuck in traffic on their way to do these things that they don't like. You know? Day after day. Every freaking day. And it just broke my heart, bro. I don't want people to keep listening to my show. I want them to start doing their own thing. I want them to turn off the TV, turn off the radios, and turn off everything that they don't actually really need. Right? The show's only there for if you've got a sense of humor and you're feeling really, really sad at the moment, listen to my show. We'll pick you up, okay? It's the joke of the great clown, Polly Archie. Man goes to a doctor's office and he says he's depressed. He says he feels all alone in a threatening world and he doesn't see a point to it anymore. And the doctor says treatment is simple. The great clown, Polly Archie, is in town. Go see him. That should pick you up. The man bursts into tears. But doctor, he cried, I am Polly Archie.
Right.
Well, there you go. I am the great clown Polly Archie, an incredibly depressed comedian, you know.
I hear you. Now, I agree with you. I mean, watching mainstream media now is just like feeding into their destruction machine because it's all fear-based memes and non-existent. I mean, it's just all puffery, fear-based puffery and bluster.
And it's boring, right?
Yeah.
If you can think, it's boring. But the problem is people have to actually encourage you and let you think before you can. And a lot of people don't realize that is if you're sitting there and you're watching something, let's say it's the best entertainment you could possibly be watching or whatever, incredibly enthralling, action-packed, dramatic, you know, make you cry or something like that, something that good. Did it change your perspective on life at all? Well, no, it didn't. Did it teach you a new skill of how you interact with other people better? No, it didn't. Did it give you any incredible insight into the human condition? It didn't, did it? And you see, and now you start to realize the real quagmire here is that the people who are trying to give you those world-changing experiences with the information that they've got are instead now trying to entertain you just so that you'll listen to them. And in so doing, you don't have all of the things that learning would imply. You're just becoming an information cul-de-sac. It doesn't. It goes in, but nothing comes out again. You don't actually apply any of the things that you've learned. You don't turn it off and go, man, that's, I've got to think about that for a minute. I've got to think, what am I doing with my life? Crap. Am I just listening to the show because it's what I want to hear when I'm on my way home from this job that I hate? I haven't quit that job yet. I'm still listening to this so I can deal with the crap job instead of just quitting the job and not listening to this and working a little harder at something that I actually do want to do? Not occurred to you yet? Sorry, you might have been listening to the wrong people, right? The mainstream and alternative press have become one and the same, as far as I'm concerned. It's a distraction to keep them away from self-discovery. How do you think you're going to discover yourself when you're looking at somebody else on the screen, bro? Still not sinking in? Oh my God. I can't help you. Only you can help yourself. Or at least that's my perspective on it. I'm getting really sick of people telling me what to do and telling other people what to do, telling people what's best for them, you know, giving their own recommendations without even asking any questions about what the problem is for this person in the first place. You know, it's just carte blanche. We're not all cogs in a machine. Nobody can tell me what my destiny is. I decide it on a daily basis, don't I? Even if there is some kind of temporal vortex that is literally obscuring the future from my view, that I could not see my destiny even if I wanted to, then your destiny becomes retrospective only. You ever seen those people on American Idol who go, "Oh, it's my fate to win American Idol," but they suck? and they crap out or anything like that because they're looking at fate as though it's something yet to come. Maybe your fate is actually what's behind you. Maybe it was my fate to get busted with 13 grams of cannabis and get charged with, you know, similar jail time as I would if I'd killed a guy with no possibility of diversion or anything like that. Maybe it was my fate to be threatened with the possibility for up to a month of my life dealing with the stress of maybe going to jail for up to 8 years. Maybe that's what it took to wake me up. Maybe trauma is indeed the only thing that can really wake you up. Maybe the reason why people are asleep is because they're too comfortable listening to the people who give them inspiration. Maybe the people who inspire you aren't the ones who make you feel comfortable and better about yourself. Maybe they're the ones who make you feel really uncomfortable. Maybe they're the ones who make you feel so horrible that you force yourself to do something to change. Maybe it's abuse, trauma, getting screwed over by the cops, having your boss fire you because you're better at his job than he is and he doesn't want any competition around. Maybe you've had lies spread about you, even though you're a person who only tells the truth. Maybe you don't deserve the life you've been given. All right? That was the really poignant realization, is that, in a way, none of us deserve what has happened to us. And it's not up to you to really decide that. It's what you do with what has happened to you that counts. What do I do now? Am I going to start again? In some cases, you have to. You got an old house that was your personality. Oh, look, it's got no insulation. It's got no plumbing. It's got no electricity. It's got nothing.
It's got nothing! I spent 17 years in a higher education institution, and I've got nothing! I spent 20 years working at a job, and I've got nothing!
Right? Has anybody else gone through that experience where you realize that the entire sum of your life actually equals zero? You know, that's one of the most terrible things you ever think about. That your life doesn't actually have the value others give to it. And the reason why people feel so empty inside is because they're not deriving their value from what's actually inside. They're deriving value from what's outside of themselves. Do they have a nice car? Do they have a cool place to live? Are they smoking the right cigarettes? Are they drinking the right bourbon? You know, speaking of bourbon, have you noticed how ubiquitous alcohol is? It's everywhere. Alcohol advertisements, everywhere. Whenever you're watching a sports game or something like that, or even just walking down the street, you're always passing liquor shops and everything like that. And I was just thinking to myself, oh my God, how many alcohol references am I seeing on TV and all of that kind of stuff, as if it's normal. It's normal for people to get really, really sick from taking a drug to the point where they become obnoxious and violent and wind up needing hospital attention. You know, oh, that's just part of the thing. But if you smoke weed, which hasn't killed a human being
ever, you're just some kind of criminal. My God, this guy's sitting at home watching DVDs, stoned. The frickin' criminality of it.
I'd love to do an ad like that, where you have on one split screen, one guy going out, getting drunk, getting in a fight, you know, sexually assaulting a chick or something like that, grabbing her butt in a club or whatever, and then trying to drive home drunk and crashing into another car or something like that and maybe killing the opposite oncoming vehicle. And meanwhile, the same guy, just on a different night, is home, sitting on the couch, Chinese eyes, like a motherfucker. And, you know, and he's just watching a movie, and he's having a good time. He's not hurting anybody. He's just by himself. And if you put those two together, and you go, what causes 40% of the homicides on the weekends? Is it marijuana? Or is it alcohol? What causes 75% of crime on the weekends? Is it marijuana? Or is it alcohol? What causes 32% of the spousal abuse on the weekends? Is it marijuana? Or is it alcohol? These things are incomparable, and it's inconceivable to me that one's socially acceptable and incredibly dangerous, causes a lot of harm to society, and the other is stigmatized and does no harm to society and conceivably never has. Apart from, unless you consider society to be a nexus of power and money controlled by psychopathic entities, you know? Because in which case, marijuana is really damaging to that society, I think. The closed-minded one. But anyway, sorry, Alfred, for rambling on there, bro.
No, I think that you were hitting a lot of high points and hitting a lot of low points.
Yep, that's the life of a stoner. Must be time for another hit.
It's the law.
There was something like Bill Hicks said. He said, I don't believe that cannabis should be illegal. And I don't believe that it should be legal either. I believe it should be mandatory. Some guy stuck in traffic and laying on the horn. Shut up and smoke that. Oh, God. I was taking life too seriously.
Yes, you were. And take that. It's the law.
Now, wouldn't that be really nice? Just really high, mellow people just floating around. You know, pizza delivery cars just passing each other on the freeway. Let them do all the work. But other than that, I've got one last thing to say on this harp stuff happening here in New Zealand. And that is that it's still going on. So we're still getting the occasional harp attack and big quakes that are striking up. And this is really ramping up the whole fear of a natural disaster thing. And we've got many things happening simultaneously, and that's the nature of conspiracy. And while we're having all these earthquakes and things like that, which can also be caused by fracking, which is a lot of going on, we've got fluoride becoming mandatory. So there's a lot of people fighting this at the moment. Fluoride Free New Zealand's making a hell of a go of trying to prevent the local health boards from taking over the responsibility of fluoridating the water, because they think after maybe 2-3 big cities, major cities, took fluoride out of their water, and no small part to Fluoride Free New Zealand actually convincing 7 out of 9 councillors in one vote that it was actually really bad for their people, right? And after that happened, they became victims of their own success. So now the government goes, well, people are using democracy to stop poisoning their populations. Well, we can't have that. Well, what are you going to do then? Well, we're going to make the health boards mandatorily fluoridate and poison all you anyway. You know, because nobody knows about poisoning like the health industry. And it's just really irritating because we've got this guy named Peter Dunn, who is a cockatoo, haircut sporting scumbag who's in the pockets of the alcohol and tobacco lobby, who's been keeping cannabis illegal for the last 10 years. He's also at the spearhead of the attack against anybody who's anti-fluoride at the moment in Parliament. All right, he's just launching on him like an attack dog. And calling us, what was it, tinfoil hat-wearing UFO-abducted conspiracy theorists. You know, said that on the House floor, that's what anybody who opposes fluoride, which is a level 6 biotoxin, when it's pharmaceutical grade, and the stuff that we're putting into our water isn't. But that's just one thing that's going on. The other thing that's going on is it's immunization. Right? It's not vaccination here in New Zealand. No. It's immunization. Because, of course, you can't have an immune system unless you've had a six series of jabs with mercury and squalene and oil and water adjuvants pumped into your bloodstream when you're less than a year old. You know, you just can't get any of that from, like, mother's milk and immune system and stuff like that. Oh, wait, you do get immunity from your mother's milk? You're immune to all the stuff that she's immune to, when you get that? Oh, okay. Okay, well, let's use mercury instead, okay? Way better. Way better. It's modern. And this comes to these really two very interesting facts about vaccination. Vax facts, I call them. Number one, there has never been a vaxxed versus unvaxxed study of children, ever, to see whether or not a vaccination is better than not getting a vaccination. And there has never been a placebo versus vaccination test, ever, to see whether or not a sugar pill is better for you than getting a vaccine. Those two tests have never been done. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that freaking outrageous? They can't prove whether it's better than nothing or better than a sugar pill. They can't prove that. Never done the test to do that. And they just put them into your kids. Just turn them autistic. Turn them into the new Brave New World Delta class. Right? Of the brain-damaged workers who won't really have any rights. Just like the rest of us. And I'm concerned, not for myself, but mostly for the... I'm not sure if I'm more concerned about the parents of the kids that are vaccine injured or the kids themselves, right? The kids themselves, there's a lot of research to indicate that autism can be reversed. You know, you can bring your kids back. And then the worst part is that a lot of those parents don't know that, because they get told by the doctor that it's genetic or something like that, and it wasn't the fact that your body can't detoxify fast enough at that particular point to get those germs and mercury and whatnot out of your system, so that you have a toxic shock, a toxic overload, and it gives you a little bit of brain swelling and so on and so forth, and alters your personality. Even says it on the vaccine sheet itself. May cause massive shifts in personality and behaviour. Oh, yeah? Why didn't you read that to me at the doctor's office then, doctor? Well, because I never bothered to read it either. Because that way I've got plausible deniability, you see. But isn't that being inherently irresponsible, not warning people about the stuff that you know that they're taking, that you know is dangerous? Well, I don't know that it's dangerous. In fact, I simply deny that it is. Oh, yeah? Denial, eh? That's your, that's the best approach you got? What's going on here? What do you think about this, Alfred? Do you think that vaccination is being used to create a new underclass of slaves for the New World Order? I mean, how many decades do you think we've got left of relative freedom? Because I was hearing these guys say last year, what was it? It might have been on a fictional TV series or something like that. They said they've got a 100-year plan. What if we, the truth movement, came up with a 100-year plan to rid humanity of scumbaggery and to make the planet healthy and safe and happy for everybody? Can we do it in 100 years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, what to answer your question, my feeling looking at the data is that vaccines are part of a nanobot chemtrails terraforming of the planet by the invading sentient PPAI, pathogenic predatory artificial intelligence, which is attempting to terraform the biosphere and humanity into an AI cyborg and not a divine human being. And that's the current battle. And humanity is really being divided into two species. One, a being that's permitting itself to be terraformed into a cyborg by allowing its, you know, its, we know that 100% of humans have now Morgellons from the nanobots, from the chemtrails. However, the activation of humans into full scale cyborgs is not 100% complete, because there's a large percentage of humans that are still active in their souls, and so we're right at that. And insofar as the planet itself is ascending to a higher frequency, to fifth density, and humans are awakening to a new frequency of unity and love, and moving out of that I win, you lose reptilian artificial intelligence frequency, and leaving that behind, well, that's the positive new human. So we're kind of moving almost to a separation of worlds. You asked me a question, so.
You know, moving towards a separation of worlds, and I don't know, but everybody seems to be in their own little world now. You've got their own little device and everything like that, and we're more connected than ever, and we're more disconnected from each other than ever simultaneously. I love that. Yeah. It's a great irony.
Right. Because the artificial intelligence, the PPAI, is plasma-based. And paradoxically, it's built the internet, which, and the IT world, the virtual world, which is plasma-based, as its medium. So everybody walks around in this artificial medium. And there isn't much happening down in this third density world that we're talking in now, except dissolution. So it's going into the inner world and pushing into some sort of shift into a higher density, which is emerging.
With the emergence of this, because I like to trust to hope a little bit sometimes, and other times I like to poo-poo it and just go, don't be hopeful or anything. Because I love irony and contradiction, because ultimately there's three sides to every story. Your side of the story, my side of the story, and the truth. And it seems to me that when we're looking at things that haven't happened yet, when we're looking at projected futures, the dystopian projected futures always seem to be the most accurate. You ever notice that?
Well, yeah, we're in a highly targeted sector of a highly targeted universe.
We're in the center of the storm, as it were, as is New Zealand right now. We've got a big cyclone coming at us. Who knows if it's harp fueled or not? One can only hope.
but you're quite right. New Zealand was ground zero.
What do you mean?
New Zealand was ground zero for Mu, for the destruction of Lemuria in a war between humans and reptilians, which resulted in the sinking of a very advanced civilization.
Is that why this is just like a couple of islands and the rest of the world still got its continents?
Yeah, but you're the tips of a couple of islands, but if you go down, you've got a whole continent down there, which was artificially sunk as a result of a war using very advanced directed energy weapons. And now history is repeating itself in a way, because you've got another generation of directed energy weapons, HARP, that the same kind of I win, you lose duality controllers are trying to knock people off of there, knock kind of the human organic life in terms of the indigenous people and the settlers who've been there for generations and who care about the land, and knock them off and make it a kind of elite theme park again.
This will be the nice little paradise. Our biggest earner nationally at the moment is tourism. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think about that. New Zealand's got that high rapport with the international community that the way we make money off of all you people, more than any other thing, more than milk, more than cheese, more than lamb, is you come in to see what we've got on offer. Right? Now, at the same time as that's going on, the international community is not being briefed as to the darker side of New Zealand, right? And that's what I kind of do, right? To say to everybody, look, I know this is a beautiful little place with these wonderful cultures that just get along so freaking swimmingly and don't have violence and blah, 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 blah. It's just a lie. We're not corrupt. Yeah, we're not corrupt. Right. We've got 156 judges, and 142 of them are related by first cousin at least. Hey, yeah. You know?
Is that true, or is that an exaggeration? That has to be an exaggeration.
It's a very slight exaggeration. But don't worry. It's a lot worse than I'm making out. Now, we have courts where they turn off the recording devices so that the judges could break the law without getting caught. And then if they forget to turn the record off, they refuse to let you see the transcript. I love it. We had Vince Seamus, a very successful American businessman who's been living here for a long time, right? And he does the website kiwisfirst.co.nz. And every time thus far, that somebody's told me, oh, Vinny, this is my judge and he's so terrible to me or anything like that, put his name into kiwisfirst.co.nz, Judge Shumlin. Oh, right, there you go. A whole laundry list of, like, crimes and conflicts of interest and all this sort of scumbaggery comes up. It's like that every single time. You can't really get justice in New Zealand unless you're really lucky or have, like, the public eye on your side. And you'd figure that would be the case with a lot of people who, like, have a lot of money. For example, we had a guy named Alan Hubbard, who's one of our very few billionaires. And he lived in a little house that he'd been living in since the 70s, had no modern technology in it beyond his kidney dialysis machine. Him and his wife just had a little car, and the man was a billionaire, and he supported a good chunk of the South Island's farming startups and things like that, because when the banks were in charge of loaning to pretty much everybody, and there weren't any local finance companies around at the time, you know, farmers were like committing suicide. They'd be eyeballs up in debt. Nobody would care about them, this kind of thing. And this guy, Alan Hubbard, he was there for these people, you know. There are a lot of people alive in this country and are farming successfully to this day because of him. And he's dead now. And his wealth, stolen. We had the Minister of Justice, Simon Power, accept a complaint about Alan Hubbard's business, South Canterbury Finance, saying that, oh, these guys hadn't provided a prospectus. Well, guess what? South Canterbury Finance didn't produce prospectuses on a yearly basis or at all. Right? So they used that excuse to put his entire company under statutory management. Right? No investigation of any kind. Statutory management. Government's in charge of your company. What do you think happens to your company's share value on the stock market as soon as the government takes over your company for fraud? They called him Mr. Magoo. They said he was running a Ponzi scheme. And this Mr. Magoo character, who's supposedly running a Ponzi scheme, somehow managed to return, wait for it, 96% of investors' money when the assets that the company held was sold off. Have you ever heard of their finance company being able to return a cent, let alone 96%? Right? Guess how he died? His car was stopped, and a guy who was driving on the opposite side of the road, carrying a concrete mixer 400 kilometres to a place he wasn't going to use the concrete mixer at, sped up, crossed the median barrier, and then slammed into this guy's car with his wife in it as well. That didn't kill him, though. In fact, they managed to get him to the hospital, and he was reportedly laughing and joking with the nurses and things like that, before they then hustled him into a Westpac rescue helicopter to fly him to Dunedin Hospital, 4 minutes and 50 seconds total flight time, and he didn't survive the trip. It turns out later on that Simon Power, the Justice Minister, who then put in the statutory management, this guy's company, got a very lucrative job and resigned his post as the Justice Minister working for Westpac. The same people who financed the helicopter, and also they were one of two primary beneficiaries for the sale of the assets of South Canterbury Finance. The other biggest winner out of this just happened to be the Prime Minister John Key's next door neighbour in Parnell. That's how corrupt this country is, bro. You could be a billionaire who people love and support, and they'll just whack you, and they'll drag your name through the mud in the media that they own and steal everything.
Well, you know, I really am sorry that that occurred to this gentleman. And it sounds like the cycles are repeating themselves, and we still have warfare between the reptiles and the humans in New Zealand and in Zealandia.
Well, one can only hope.
No, I mean, things have not changed in 40,000 years. Things have not changed in 12,000 years in New Zealand. It's still the reptiles versus the humans.
Yeah. Well, I think when we talk about reptiles, a lot of people like going to flip back and go, oh my God, it's so crazy, isn't this stuff? Well, there's two ways of looking at it. One is the way of the literal reptiles and the ability to shapeshift. And when I look back at ancient history and I look at the myths surrounding werewolves, where they came from, it was actually, when you look at how the early people described the werewolves, the shapeshifters, the vampires who are afraid of the light. They all seemed to be very simple yet quite telling mentions of the psychology of a psychopath, all right? Which most people to this day still don't understand because, let's face it, psychopaths are in charge. Guess what controls the psychopath? The reptilian brain. The lower brainstem, it's what governs the fight or flight response when you're in a situation. That's why when you corner one of these people, they turn into an animal, just like that. Or you you question them or something like that, or you call them on something, right up there, because there's no... The brain's wrapped in three layers. There's the thumb layer in your hand, and then you wrap two, and then you wrap your other fingers around that thumb, and then you wrap your other hand over it. Okay, that's the triple layer of the brain. The outer layer, that's your higher thought functions. That's the, oh, that's a really nice sunset. Oh, it's so colourful. And then the secondary layer, that's because of the protons coming across the sky like that and a few of the waves making it slightly different. And then there's the reptilian brain. I don't need to run away from this, do I? Nah, it's all right. So you're thinking three separate steps whenever you see something. If you don't have step one and step two, it runs straight to, is this a threat to me, and do I need to react to the threat? Now, if you have a look at that as a model, you go, that is how every single institution works currently. Isn't it? It instantly identifies anything that is not part of itself as a threat. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're in part of a company or a law practice or a medical school or in politics or in anything like that. It's all run in this really nasty reptilian brain dominant way, isn't it? Now, I think that there's a dilution of the bloodline. So we've got certain castes of the reptiles, right? Some of them are just psychopaths. They've got the reptile brain, but that's about it. They can't shapeshift. They can't manipulate and bend space-time and things like that. They've got no magical powers. They're assholes. And then up the other end, you've got the direct lineage royalty bloodline who have a hell of a lot more power to draw from. What do you reckon, Alfred? Is that a fair assumption?
I think that you actually made a very accurate description of the spectrum here, and including with your description of the tripartite brain, which was negotiated according to this book that I'm reading now by a council of 12 that included reptilian input, which insisted that there be a reptilian component in the design of Homo sapiens sapiens, which was the model of human of which we are a part. And it was that then there was a general consensus that Homo sapiens sapiens would be allowed to be the dominant species on Earth. However, we are thoroughly infiltrated by reptilians who are, you know, still controlling our tendency to conflict, as the last two or three weeks have demonstrated.
Now, speaking of which, personally, I've been feeling really terrible, right? Just really bad. And it's not an exercise thing. It's not an entertainment thing. It's not a work thing. What is it?
It's called a directed energy weapon thing. And now, according to sources that I've been told, the global mind controllers, and we won't get into exactly who that they might be because there are different versions of it, there's an array of directed energy rays that are, you know, being beamed at humans and at humans in different parts of the planet now. So and it's differentiated so that certain types of humans are being dumbed down. I know that alternative media people are being targeted, so you might be being especially targeted, so you'll feel really bad, you know, through a directed energy weapon. That could certainly happen. But right now, it looks like the global formula is, well, we're going to ratchet this up, and I don't know. I'm not sure where the script is going at this point. Today is April 11th in Vancouver. It's April 12th in New Zealand, 2017. Well, I kind of want to wrap this up. I think that we're getting into that zone. Do you feel that you've raised much of the major points that you had wanted to raise so far?
There was only one more thing, and that was the generalized angst I'm feeling, right? And I don't know if it's a directed energy weapon, you know. I'm not in denial of that possibility. I'm just wondering, maybe it's... again, it's that 10-year cycle thing. We're going through the same things we were going through 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is a 1 year. 2017 is a 1 year out of a 10-year cycle. So it's a beginning year. 2016 was a culmination year. So that cycle ended. So we're in a beginning year. So everybody's at a beginning point now. However, there are all sorts of scripts going on now about world dominance and about depopulation programs,
yeah,
and about all sorts of nasty things that we've all been monitoring all of this time. And I would say that New Zealand's definitely a high place because, number one, you've got Zealandia, the hidden continent. It was once, you know, a mega targeted area where a mega genocide took place and a mega destruction of the human race, which was the sinking of Atlantis and Lemuria. So that's New Zealand. Number two, now New Zealand is coveted as an elite theme park by the controller elite. And that's what they're using all of these HAARP things for, to try and clear out the island. Or that's one hypothesis.
Well, I think they're just trying to destabilize it geopolitically so that they can actually just come in and take over the old-fashioned way. We also had Operation Katapo, which was the largest foreign troop movements on New Zealand soil since World War II, and they were planning a drill of which they deposed a democratically elected New Zealand dictator, and they had mock terrorists and mock protesters holding anti-US and anti-free trade signs in the operation. So it's sometimes it's actually pretty clear, you know, we're getting a brand new, what was it, $15 million upgrade to Ohakia Air Force Base as well. So we're going to have a giant new air base in here. We're now allowing nuclear ships to come into our waters and into our ports for the first time since the non-nuclear proliferation thing that we did back in the 80s. We are really becoming a, shall we say, a military target, I think.
Right, very much targeted now. Mm-hmm. So, we really want to thank you for, tell me, do you have any thoughts that you want to leave us with from your point on the planet?
Well, it's bucketing down with rain. We're about to get hit by a major storm on Easter for like the 10th year in a row. Hop into that one as soon as you can, they say. I got nothing, right? I got nothing. I've already said it all. Apart
there you
from,
go
to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. After all, just because we're being exterminated and and enslaved by ruthless criminal reptilian scum doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed?
Very good one.
Here we go. Night, night, everybody.